Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. When he summoned a famine on the land and broke all supply of bread,
he had sent a man in Bethlehem, Joseph, who was sold as a slave.
His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron.
Until what he had said came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him.
The king sent and released him. The ruler of the peoples set him free.
He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possessions,
to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom.
Then Israel came to Egypt. Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham.
And the Lord made his people very fruitful and made them stronger than their foes.
He turned our hearts to hate his people, to deal wrathfully with his servants.
He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Amen. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Moses called Exodus, the third chapter. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I have observed you in what has been done to you in Egypt, and I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they will listen to your voice, and you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all the wonders that I will do in it. After that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and when you go, you shall not go empty. But each woman shall ask of her neighbor, and any woman who lives in her house, for silver and gold jewelry and for clothing. You shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Here we are now on Exodus chapter 3. In the first two chapters, we've been watching how God works. We first encountered Israel in Egypt, afflicted and oppressed. Then came the birth of the child Moses, his rescue from the Nile River in the basket, his response as a grown man to injustice, and his flight out of Egypt to Midian. God works in strange and mysterious ways to deliver his people. He does big things with small stuff. And as the Lord remembers the plight of his people, he has prepared their salvation by raising up for them a deliverer in the person of Moses. You might have noticed as well, as we went through Exodus 1 and 2, that God is sort of in the background in those two chapters. He doesn't act a lot. You don't hear a lot about him, except chapter 2 ended by saying that God saw his people and remembered what they were going through. But now here in chapter 3, God is suddenly out in the open and everything hinges on him, on his character, and on his actions. It seems to me that if God hadn't come down in that burning bush, that Moses would still today be out in the wilderness shepherding his father-in-law's flocks. But But then I suppose that's exactly how it should be. Because without a call from God, who would Moses be? He's far too small, he's far too insignificant in himself to accomplish the things that God has planned. And without God's own promise and blessing, how could Moses ever have accomplished the salvation of Israel out of Egypt? I mean, you heard how it went. Even with God's call, how did Moses respond? He was reluctant. He was hesitant. And yet God calls him. And God will use him, even Moses, to do good to his people. It all hinges on God. I think we have a tendency to forget that at times. I know in some ways we say that it all hinges on God and we believe it, but in so many other ways we tend to think that it all hinges on us. That if I can't do it, or I can't accomplish it, or I'm nervous or reluctant, that God can't do anything. But God can. He's bigger than you, and he's bigger than me. And here in Exodus 3, it all starts with a burning bush. A bush that's burning, but that's not burned up. Moses shows his curiosity here. I'm not sure how I would have responded, but when he sees this burning bush, he doesn't leave it alone. He wants to get closer. He's curious about it, and it gets even stranger when he does. Because the angel of the Lord appears in the burning bush. And the angel of the Lord talks to Moses out of the burning bush. But this angel of the Lord is no ordinary angel. It is, in fact, Christ himself before the incarnation. The second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, is there present to Moses in the wilderness, burning in the fire, but not burned up. I think we see here already a little preview of what Jesus will do when he comes in the flesh. You could say that when he takes our sin on himself and goes to the cross, he is burned by our sin, but he is not consumed. He survives. It's also a picture of what God will do for his people Israel. As they are in Egypt, suffering and in slavery, you might say that they are being burned by the fire of that slavery, but they will not be consumed by it. God will bring them out of Egypt. Another thing we can see here is that God isn't above suffering. God isn't just beside suffering either, but he is in the suffering. He's in the burning bush. And he's in your suffering too. Whatever it might be that you're going through, he's right there. He's going through it for you, and he is going through it with you. That burning fire in that bush. We tell children to be careful with fire. You'll get burned. Moses also needed to be careful with this fire, because this is the very fire of God. And you cannot encounter the fire of God either in the burning bush, or when we think about the Holy Spirit descending like tongues of fire on God's people, you cannot encounter the fire without being affected by it, without being changed. It is the fire of God that makes holy. And Moses learns this when he draws close, because the angel of the Lord speaks to him out of the burning bush and tells him to take off his sandals. The ground on which you are standing is holy. Moses can't approach God out of his own works, out of his own righteousness, even in his own shoes. He has to confront God in humility, in worthlessness, and only then will God accomplish great things through him. And God does, and he will use Moses. In fact, it is God's word that makes Moses what he is. It is God who appoints him to be the one who will go and deliver his people out of slavery. It is God's word that says that Moses will stand before Pharaoh and deliver his people from that enslavement. He will make Moses into more than a shepherd. He will make him into a leader of Israel. Now, when the angel of the Lord speaks to Moses, he says, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." You might remember that Jesus picks up that language when he speaks in the New Testament with the Sadducees about the resurrection. If God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not I was the God of Abraham, but I am right now, that means that Abraham is not dead. He is not gone. Nor is Isaac, nor is Jacob. He is the God not of the dead, but of the living, and they are alive to him. Which, of course, ought to give Moses and us a great deal of confidence, because if he is the God of the living and not of the dead, if he is the God before whom all are present and alive, then why would we be afraid? Why would we be afraid of what God has ahead for us, of how he might use us or call us or equip us to serve our neighbors? God goes on to tell Moses very clearly what he is about to do. Not Moses, but what God is about to do. You might notice there in the middle of chapter 3, there are 6 times when God refers to himself in the first person singular. I will do this. I will do that. Listen to them again. The Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them. I will bring them up out of the land. I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. I will send you, Moses, to Pharaoh. Who's at work here in Exodus chapter 3? Upon whom does all of it hinge? Not on Moses, but on God. He is the one who sees and hears and acts and will deliver. We can apply these same words to ourselves as well. God is the one who sees your affliction. God is the one who knows your suffering. God is the one who comes down to deliver you. God is the one who will bring you out of this land of slavery and into his promised land. God is the one who sends to you a deliverer and a savior whom he has called. God has his eye on the hardships, the miseries, the suffering, the affliction, and the adversity of his saints. God hears your cries and your groans and your prayers. God is distressed by the things that distress you, by the oppression and anguish that you feel. And out of his own fatherly compassion and sympathy, he desires to help you in your plight and to send you a deliverer. The God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob never grows weary of coming to the aid of his people. As I was reading Martin Luther talking about Exodus 3, he said that all the world knows that sort of God is there to help, but they don't know who the true God is. We know who the true God is. When we cry out for help, we know the one to whom we cry. He is the one not only who sent his servant Moses, but he is the one who has sent his very own son into the flesh, to be burned by the fire of our sin, but not be consumed. We don't need to make up who our God is, but we know him by his name. His name is Christ, and he is the one who helps you in your affliction. He is the one who has come to deliver you from bondage to slavery, slavery to sin and to death and oppression by the devil, and to bring you into the promised land. And he is doing it even now. He is bringing you that deliverance. Everything hinges on him and on what he does. So we are not here today to put ourselves before God and say, here's who I am or what I will do. That matters so little compared to who he is. He is your God. He is the one who sends a deliverer for you. Now you heard how Moses protests. Moses says, but this isn't going to work. You know, when I go to them and say, hey, I've come to rescue you, they're going to say, well, who sent you? And then I don't even know your name. What am I going to say to them? Well, God will give Moses the name. That name that's mysterious, that in the Old Testament, when you read it, you see sort of summarized or encoded in the small capital letter word, Lord. who are you? God says, I am who I am. Or I will be who I will be. That is my name. He is above all created things. Nothing else is able to give eternal life because there is no one else who is like this. He is the only one who can say, I am, always, for all eternity, who was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be. No one else can say that about themselves. Everything else perishes. Everything else changes. But he is the one, he alone is the one who is. And so he invites Moses, he invites you to cling to him, to know that we do not rely on any created thing, but only on the God who is, and the God who is for us in Jesus Christ. Yes, this holy God really will take up residence in this messy and unholy world to deliver his people. And he has done it. Jesus Christ has come. He has entered the slavery of this world. He has suffered the oppression and the affliction. He has borne our sins on his back. And he has come through the other side. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this Advent season, as we head toward Christmas, we follow our Lord Jesus Christ, who is I am, come into our flesh, and who is for you as well, leading you toward that promised land. Who is Moses? Who are we? What matters? Who is our God? He has given you so many reasons to trust in him. He has made so many promises to you as well. And he has promised also to be with you. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. I am the one who is with you. Nothing is too great for your Lord. But he is the one who called Moses and equipped him to be leader of the people Israel. And he is the one who sent his son willingly and joyfully and cheerfully to enter your human flesh, that he might be your Lord now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding guards your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Amen. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Lord, keep this nation under your care.
And guide us in the way of justice and truth.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations on the earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten.
And the hope of the poor shall not perish forever.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Hear my prayer, O Lord.
Let my cry come to you.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, through the prophet Moses, you began the prophetic pattern of teaching your people the true faith and demonstrating through miracles your presence in creation to heal it of its brokenness. Grant that your church may see in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the final end times prophet, whose teaching and miracles continue in your church through the healing medicine of the gospel and the sacraments, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your word and spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.